Good morning, everyone. I usually, when I minister out, I have to apologize for two things. Short, so the people at the back, if you don't have those kind of churches, I'll just jump up and down. But I saw Richard, it's very much the same, so I'm in good company. And we come from Potchefstroom, and it doesn't matter how we try to color that in, we try to say Potchefstroom on all of that, but it's really Potchefstroom, you know. And so we are very Afrikaans, and we try and adapt to the English. And so I want to apologize ahead of time for my language, and then also my tenses are pretty, well, after 5 minutes, will pretty get messed up pretty good, but hopefully you'll still get a message from the Lord. So such a privilege for us to be here this morning in beautiful Franschhoek, and we've really prayed for the church, and we've really prayed for the leadership and what God wants to do here. And we're excited to deposit what we believe that he said for your church and for specifically for the leaders as well. So I want to pray for us, and then I just quickly want to minister and just bring the word before we jump into the word. Thank you, Father, that we have the privilege this morning to just sit at your feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, and that we're not alone. Thank you that you want to bless us every day with more of your presence. We want to pray, Lord, that in this day, that you come and do the work, finish the work, the good work that you've started in us. Give us an encounter, give us a touch. Put your finger on us. Activate within us, Lord, your plans and your purposes for our life. We know, Father, if you do not do this work through your Spirit, nothing will happen here. So we recognize your presence and your guidance in this place. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. When I prayed over Shofok Franschhoek, actually last night when we had dinner with Jolene and Richard, I told them, listen, when I give you a word tomorrow, when they started speaking, I'm not going to prophesy what you're telling me now. I just want to tell you ahead of time. Right now it's probably just going to be a confirmation. But when I prayed over the church, there was two words that kept on popping up all the time. One was a healing hub. And I wasn't really aware of how far the process is or what you guys are doing here, but I heard a healing hub, and I saw an image, a picture of a tree. I didn't know you were in the forest, I heard last night, but I saw a picture of a tree, but with timid branches and timid trunk, not this tree. And when I was praying, I saw that this trunk and the branches, not just branched out, became solid and thick. And when I prayed about it, I really felt the Lord said that this is going to be specifically a place for people to get emotionally healed, get strong from the inside. Physical healing always play a big part. It's part of the healing gift, obviously. But God wants to bring people in. This is going to be two things. I'll share the second one. But the first one, there will be a flow through this place of people that needs to get restoration and healing specifically. And I felt that we have to release that healing and restoration anointing that's obviously already here this morning. I heard the Lord said he will make provisions for what he wants to do here. And then I heard, and I wrote it here down in capitals, is don't follow the money. The money will follow the dream that God's put on your heart. It's not, I know, I understand, when you have a big vision and it scares you, it's bigger than you think you can handle. Sometimes you think, where's the money going to come from? Because this is a big dream. And I just sense the Lord said that he's placed you in this season specifically for this dream that is activated in your heart. And the money will come to do exactly what he wants to do. You don't have to follow the money. The money will follow what God's put on your heart. I believe that I felt the Lord said that physical healing is going to be a big part of this hub, but he once again highlighted emotional healing specifically all the time, restoration and emotional healing. I also felt when I prayed for your leaders, and I asked them whether I could share it in public today or with them privately, and because it's always good for the church to hear what God's doing with the leadership, right? When I was praying, I heard the name Isaac. How do you say that in English? Isaac, is it right? Isaac. And Abram got a promise from the Lord, this son. And he had one or two turns that he made. He made Ishmael on the way, and God brought him back, and he was back in faith again, and you didn't make an Ishmael. What I'm trying to say is you had your doubts and your victories of what God has told you, but I want to carefully and respectfully just proclaim today that the Lord says the time has come right now to release what he's put on your heart, not just work. Richard told me last night that he's busy with a project here. And Richard, I felt when I was praying over you specifically that the Lord said you have to align your faith with God's given to you as a couple and specifically to you. I don't know if this would be, I hope this will be confirmation for you. But there's a deliverance and a pioneering anointing on your life that God wants to activate. And I said, it's not fully realized yet, but I'm here to tell you that Lord says there's a pioneering and a deliverance authoritative anointing that he wants to release in your life in this time. You're building and renovating and constructing at the moment as a prophetic act of what God is busy doing in this place. So you're working and God's releasing, and it will be realized. Angeline, the Bible says when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion. And then it says, and he healed them. And I just see that the Lord's, he's deposited his compassion in your heart for people to get healed on both sides, emotionally and physically. But also, I heard the Lord say, the momentum that's going to come from this place is going to be massive. So before he releases that, you need to establish and make sure in your life, first of all, a child of God, wife to your husband, and mom to your children. Because when the momentum comes, empathy and sympathy and this compassion for people to get restored and healed might overcome people, not you. So the Lord says, establish in your heart that you're a wife and you're a child of God, a wife and a mother, so that when this momentum comes, that you will know where the boundaries are, first and foremost. And then I'm here also this morning. I want to release this word. I feel that the Lord is saying that he's calling out expansion over this church. I know it's a good word to hear, and it's always a nice thing to tell people, hey, God wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to expand the church. That's amazing. But I just felt the Lord said, I want you to tell them that expansion is coming to this place, and it's on two levels. Number one, the first one is it's going to be a flow through as a healing hub or center, I heard this morning you say. And second of all, it's only also going to be like a fung net in Afrikaans, he said. It's going to be, people's going to be propelled into the healing center and end up being here. Because there's a function that will draw, there's an anointing that will draw them to become part of this house. It's such a privilege to be with you this morning, just to sense and experience what God is doing here. So for us, we're humbled to be part of what he's doing here. Can I pray for you guys? Father, thank you. I want to pray first and foremost for this church, Lord. Thank you that when you are involved, Lord, there's always advancing in the kingdom. I'm just thinking again about that verse that says, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent takes it by force. We want to declare that over this house, this day. For Lord, thank you for expansion, expanding, enlarging. But Lord, also thank you for creating a space where people could come for restoration and healing. I want to pray over this church. Thank you that you guide them and lead them with wisdom and with your clear voice. I want to pray also today, Lord, that you release the anointing, the ability, the grace, whatever is necessary for the leaders to put their feet into this massive call that you've put on this place. Thank you, Lord, that the Bible says it's you that calls us. It's you that empowers us, equips us, and even you that makes us willing to do the work. And therefore, Father, thank you that you release that over this house today. And if this is your word, it shall be realized. We pray that in Jesus' name. Everyone says, amen. 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 It's Pentecost Sunday, and I have a couple of stories to share with you. And I want to pray for more people today. I have a word for a couple of you as well. We'll do that later on. But I love Pentecost Sunday and I love the Holy Spirit for a couple of reasons. And I want to share with you today why I really love it so much and a little bit maybe about our story. So I call today, what's your weight? What's your weight? So I know you know, especially in wintertime, what I'm talking about, right? And therefore, so we don't have a, what do you call that in English? A scale, a weightometer. I don't know what you call it in English. I don't have that in my house because it's troublesome. It's troublesome every week. But I call this morning, what's your weight? Because we carry a weight in the Spirit. And I want to explain to you what happens in the Spirit and what God wants to release into people's lives when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. What He activates. So first of all, and I'm not going to speak on this today, but we know that when the Holy Spirit activates, baptizes you, part of that is that you receive a call and a gift so that you can be part of the function of the church, become part of the body of God. But there's more than that. So I love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We love ministering through the work of the Spirit. But there's more than gifts. Gifts is amazing. I always say it's a gift for a reason, you know. You can contend for it. You can desire it. But God is still the giver of the gift. And sometimes He still decides what He wants to give to you. We can ask and we will receive. But sometimes, most of the times, I want to say almost always, He aligns your call with the gift that He's put on your life. Because the two has to come together, right? But there's even more than that. And so we realized that a couple of years ago, we went to Brazil. And we spent some time in Brazil for 2 weeks with Global Awakening. And we had an amazing time. And there's a specific incident that I'm going to refer to today in my life specifically that just brought this whole thing home. So when we started ministry, I first did psychology and then later on started with theology. And so my entry point into ministry was counseling and deliverance. Because I went through deliverance and that's how I got saved and called back into the love of God and then also ministry. And so we just started with deliverance since day one. I don't know how that happened. It's crazy how those things happened. And I'm so grateful that God protected us because we did not know what we got ourselves into. We ministered to people day and night. I played rugby in Portugal at the Leopards and I broke 2 vertebrae on my back, but I was still staying with the rugby team. And when I got saved, and so we did deliverance in the sitting room of a rugby team with people that's coming from the occult, Satanism and all of those secret societies and all of that day and night. And so we were the freaks. The rugby friends, they didn't know what was happening in their house. It was deliverance and screaming and all of those kind of things day and night. And people just ended up at our house for ministry. And part of our ministry was healing. We really trusted the Lord to see healing in people's life, physical healing and miracles. And so the two of us, we met in the hospital because she was part of the hospital ministry where we prayed for the sick. And I remember one specific evening, just before we got, you know, not engaged, but went into a relationship. We were ministering in a hospital and that evening, I don't know why it was different, but God did amazing miracles that evening, more than usually. And Michelle was praying for a lady that got burned in her home in Ikageng, and all of her legs were just burned. And while we were praying for her, she just started ripping off the bandages, and there was no sign of any wound of any sort on the legs. God healed people with TB, and it's a long, amazing story. But after a couple of years seeing God move in the super spirit, the supernatural, getting used to the norm that through His Spirit He can prophesy, He can build you up, He can bring healing to your life, He can physically heal your body, He can deliver people and just attach them, reattach them to Him, show them their love. All of those amazing stuff happened. I was sitting one morning already leading a church, sorry, not leading this church, but in full-time ministry for about 10 years at that stage. And when I was praying, I heard a voice tell me the following: you don't recognize me as God. And I immediately rebuked the voice of the devil. Because I was in full-time ministry. We've seen with our eyes all of these things. There's no way that we're not recognizing God as God. And so I continued praying, but this thing was bothering me. You know, and I don't know about you, but when I get into the shower or brush my teeth, you know, your head, us men, we can only do one thing at a time, right? When I was busy washing in the shower, you know, I was contemplating this thing that I heard. And I said, Lord, if this is you speaking to me, how can it be? How can you tell me after all that we've seen, the amount of years we have in full-time ministry, that we don't recognize you as God? And I heard the Spirit just ask me one question. Rusty, who do you pray to? And I said, Lord, I prayed to the Father, and I prayed to Jesus, His Son. And then I knew. I enjoyed the power of God, seeing His power at work, but I'm not recognizing His Spirit fully as God. Somehow we end up, you know, having, it's easier to relate to a father, it's easier to relate to a son or a brother or a savior, but the Holy Spirit is like a fire and like a wind and like a dove, you know. That's the best we can do, is try and explain through how He works who He is. His name, pneuma, in Greek is breath. You know, Jesus Himself said, you won't see where the wind comes from and where it goes. And the Spirit is like that. It doesn't fit into our boxes. But He's a person. He's a helper. He is the power of God. He is Emmanuel. He's the one with us. And something changed in my life the day that I recognized He's not just there for the power. He's also, number one, He needs to be recognized as fully God, number one. And number two, He is a person that wants to connect with us, that wants to have fellowship. You remember that prayer in the Bible? In the Bible, Babel? Here it starts. Be careful. It's starting. That prayer that it says, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And so something changed in my life that day, realizing there is more. God took me into the Bible and I started doing a study just to try and figure out how do I put this thing together for myself in the broad context of the Bible. How do I understand this? And I saw the following. I saw Moses in Exodus 33 asking God, show me your glory. And I was just thinking, Moses, really? What else do you want to see? Think about it. He saw the plagues. He saw the Red Sea open up. He saw the people getting healed. God's provision, food in the desert. He's seen all of these things. Yet still, he says, show me your glory. It wasn't enough. Think about Elijah. Elijah was praying down fire from heaven, and the Bible says this fire consumed. You remember Elijah and the Baal prophets on the mountain? And when Elijah was praying, the fire came down and consumed the altar, the Bible says, and the sacrifice, and the stones, and the dust. And all of the Baal prophets saw that, 400 of them. Elijah went down to the river and killed all of them after they recognized God as the one true God. The following day, Jezebel sends a message. I'm coming for you. I'm going to kill you. After seeing that, he ran into the desert, go and sit underneath a bush and say, Lord, take me out of ministry, please. Don't want to be in ministry anymore. You know why? It's not enough. God's power, there's always more. His demonstration of His power, there's always more. But here's the beautiful thing that you need to hear, because this stirred my faith. We were created for it. We were created to see, feel, demonstrate, and receive the power of God. And therefore, it will never be enough. Only Him and Him alone will be enough for us. And if you settle that in your heart and you have intimacy in this relationship with Him, Then you can grow also in the application, but also in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Because you're not running after the power anymore, you're running after God. But the power, the Bible says, of God through His Spirit will always follow those that believe. So for today, it's amazing to be in ministry, and they will tell it to you, and the other guys in ministry, and if you're a leader or elder, it's amazing to be part of what God is doing. But I want you to hear this. God's power through His Spirit is not for people in ministry only. It's for everyone. Why? How many of you are sitting here today that are in business? Put up your hands. You need the anointing of God. You need the power of God in business. Do you understand that you are the financial vein of this place, this town, in the kingdom? You are playing a super important role in the kingdom of God. Where's the teachers in the room? You don't even understand how important the role is that you're playing in education, raising up children. Where are the medical staff? Is there medical people, medical staff? So I can go, you understand the concept. Everyone needs the activation and the power of God for what you do. He's called you to something specific. He wants to equip you with His Spirit so that you can be, not just make a difference, but you can bring the supernatural work of God in your workplace. And I want to show that to you today. So in the Old Testament, it's interesting. God's glory in the Hebrew language is kavod, or some say kabod. And that I will show it to you on the board later on. But God's glory was visible with the prophets and the priests and sometimes the kings. And so some say His glory, His manifest presence rested only on those three offices in the Old Testament. That's the beauty about the New Testament. But the interesting is, when Israel left Egypt, since Passover till they got to Sinai, where they received the law, was 50 days. They were for 40 years in the desert, but it took them 50 days to get from Passover, you remember the blood of the lambs on the doorposts, to get to Sinai. And that was 7 weeks plus a day, 49 days plus one day. Interesting, they celebrated receiving the law as God's revelation of Himself to His people. We're under grace now. We're not under the law anymore. But the law for the people of the day was a marriage proposal. It was God connecting Himself to His people, and for the first time ever, they had something to live by in writing. To them, it was a massive big deal. God has revealed Himself to us by giving us the law. We understand today the law, you know, has passed, has been fulfilled, and we are under a new law. And that's the beauty of this, because Jesus was crucified on Passover. He walked the earth for 40 days. He commanded His disciples to wait for another 10 days. To what? To receive the Holy Spirit on the 50th day. Pentecost. Pent is 5. Pentecost in Greek means 50th day. God gave His Spirit on the 50th day after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. You know why? He brought unto us, once again, as Paul says in Romans 8, the law of life, the law of the Spirit of God. He has replaced the law with His Spirit. And therefore, He says, we have to live by the Spirit. You have to live by the Spirit. But there's different places when we receive the Holy Spirit. In the lifestyle, it's important for you to understand that in John 20, the disciples received the Holy Spirit. They were waiting, no, actually they were afraid, hiding behind closed doors. And Jesus came walking through the walls. You remember what He said that day? He blew over them. And they received the Holy Spirit. for the very first time ever, the Holy Spirit was given and people could receive the Spirit within them as Emmanuel, God with us. For the very first time ever available for all believers. You know the interesting thing? They went back and did what? Fishing. It's like we do as men. I would assume and think that they were sitting there. This man said he was the Messiah. Now he's crucified. He's in the grave. What do we do now? Was it true? Wasn't it true? But we saw the works of Jesus. We saw the miracles. He has to be the Son of God. And suddenly he walks through the walls. And they receive God as he promised. I have to go away. John 14, John to John 20, all the way. I have to go away because I have to leave my spirit to be with you. He is the Son of God. He was resurrected. He is the Messiah. Yes, everything is the truth. We've received the Holy Spirit. Boys, what are we going to do? Let's go fish. Psht. But there was a second and a third encounter. Because after they received the Holy Spirit in them, still Jesus said, you have to go and wait to get empowered by the Holy Spirit. Did they not receive him? Yes, they did. Why is there a second chance or a second event? I don't know. The Bible says so. But there's also a third event. And I'll show it to you in the Bible this morning. I want to read, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 2. I love this part. This is the first thing that happens to you when you are saved, receive the Holy Spirit inside of you, but you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Something changes in your life. It's not just a tick box because he's God. Something changes in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I want to proclaim this over you today. Your eyes has not seen and your ears has not heard. Nor have it entered into our hearts sometimes. The things that God has prepared for you. If you love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. It's not really speaking about judgment, right? You understand the difference between discernment. So discernment is not right and wrong only, especially in this context. Spiritual discernment can be defined as spiritual understanding. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit activates within us, from within us, the ability to walk as spiritual people. Meaning that only spiritual things can be discerned spiritually if you are a spiritual man. Many people think that because we believe that the Holy Spirit has come, we are spiritual. It's not the truth. This scripture is not speaking about unsaved people. He's saying the natural man. People that do not understand the spiritual weight of what happens to a man and a woman when we are baptized in God's Spirit, sees the things of the Spirit as foolishness. We could say, we view life through the lens, and we view spiritual matters through the rational lens only. To be intellectual, to be rational is amazing. Nothing wrong with that. But to view and try and understand the things of God, which is spiritual, through a natural lens will never work. It can only be viewed and understand and and discerned through a spiritual lens. And it's not something that you can get. It's a person that you need to receive that will activate in your life, open you up, awaken you unto the things of God. So we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive a gift. God is aligning our gifts and our call with each other, and you receive a purpose that you can be part of what God's doing in His kingdom. But it's more than that. God opens us up spiritually. Help us understand the things, spiritual things, because the Bible says it's only the spirit of man that know the depths of man. And so also it's only the Spirit of God that knows the deep things of God. Do you want to know the deep things of God? Do you want to know the mysteries that this scripture is speaking about? It can only come by the awakening that happens when the Spirit lives in us and baptizes us in His power. God opens us up, provides a way for us to be spiritual. And so I want to make this clear. We're not speaking about super spirituality, because that's a spiritual stupidity as well. I'm speaking about the truth where the Spirit from the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, brings us into this new life, opens it up for us. So in the flesh, we measure, but in the Spirit, we weigh. On the earthly realm, we are used to measuring things. We can measure good and evil. We can measure right and wrong. We can measure things, you know, because we live, there's nothing wrong with it. That's how it works in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, you can't measure. You can only weigh. And God also weighs us. It's not just an experience, it's a responsibility. When He gives you of His Spirit, He's depositing weight, spiritual weight into your life. Let me put it this way. It's easy to look at someone's life and try and figure out what's right and what's wrong. It's easy to look at my own life and say, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that wrong. But when you read through the parables of the Bible, we see that Jesus, you know, He's at all the right places doing all the wrong things according to the tradition of the day. He's not supposed to heal people on the Sabbath, yet He does. You know, He's telling a parable about a farmer that hires workers. And some of the workers works the whole day. And then at 4 o'clock, He hires another bunch of workers for 1 hour and He pays them all the same. He just doesn't play by the rules. In Luke 4, Jesus get, you know, the Pharisees get a, bring a message from Herod the king saying, hey, Herod is coming to kill you. Go and read Luke 4. You know what Jesus said? Go and tell that fox. Go and read it. That's, you know, we love wild things and adventure. That's why I love Jesus so much. He was a wild man. He was. Go and tell that fox. I'll be here today, tomorrow, and the day after. I'll be casting out demons, and I will be healing the sick. If you want a short download on that, Jesus was saying the following. Go and tell Herod, he know where to find me if he wants me. He was a wild guy. He's doing all the right things in all the wrong ways according to man. And therefore, we cannot understand the things of God apart from His Spirit. I just want to encourage you with the following. All of us are going through the same things. all of us are confronted with matters that we have to try and figure out. How do we approach this problem? How do we approach this spiritual thing that we read in the Bible? All of us. None of us just read something and say, oh yes, I just accept that. That's fine. Great. There we go. We wrestle with it because the flesh is in the way. And I'm not speaking about sin today. I'm just merely speaking about the natural, the way we are created and how God guides us through His Spirit to become more in Him. So in the earthly realm, we speak about information. In God's realm, we speak about revelation. There's a difference. This one, everyone can receive information and learn how to process and understand. But information, did I say information? But in God's realm, in the kingdom, He wants to bring revelation. And actually, that's the Bible. The Bible says that's the role of the Holy Spirit. To reveal God to us, to reveal the Scriptures to us. It's revelation. It doesn't come through the same lens. It's not always understandable. I want to share two stories with you. We went to Brazil, and it was an amazing experience. It was the first time that I saw what I, in my mind's eye, thought revival could really look like. And so we were a team of 100 people ministering for 2 weeks at 3 cities in 14 churches, 14 or 15 churches, something like that. And we ministered everywhere from charismatic churches all the way to Baptist churches or other churches that was not used to the work of the Holy Spirit as we've seen it. And God did exactly the same at every church. Exactly. Every time we enter into a new church, which seems to be more conservative theologically, I told my wife, if God really works, we will see it today. If it's not Him, it's not going to happen. And those churches, God did the wildest things. And so two things that grabbed my heart. So when we started praying for the people came running to the team of 100 in front of the stage. And every meeting had anywhere between 1,500 to 3,000 people. It was scary. So if the room had chairs like these, the people would just pick up the chairs and throw it. They didn't care where the chairs ended up landing on people's heads. They were so desperate for God, they just want to get to the front. And so within 5 minutes, the area in front of the stage was just full of people on the floor. And it was anything between people receiving deliverance, people being baptized by the Holy Spirit, or just people having an encounter with God. And it was so... You know, they had security guards that had to just monitor the people coming through. Otherwise, the people would just run over the other people. 1 o'clock in the morning when we had to leave for the hotel, you know, people were still running, grabbing your shirt. Please pray for me. It was crazy. But in the midst of the craziness, there was two experiences that changed my life. The first one was a lady. She was there for prayer, and it was one of those moments where people were on the floor and we were just waiting for time so that we can get to the other people. And she was still waiting, and I was looking and seeing one of the team members that came up to pray for her. And as he prayed for her, she just fell over. But not backwards, forward. On her glasses, on a terracotta tile floor. We just saw the glasses shatter. You know, and I was close by, so everybody looked at me. Why didn't you do something? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't expect it. And they turned around just to make sure that she is okay. That was the very first thing that dropped in my heart. If God's at work, He wouldn't let you get hurt. Out of my mind. And this is why. They turned her around, and I watched her. I refused to minister further. I wanted to see what God's doing here. Something was different. And after half an hour, they picked her up, put her on a chair. The cameras came rushing in, and they had an interpreter. They wanted to hear what she has to say. And she just said the following. She doesn't remember falling over. She's not hurt. She doesn't remember someone praying for her. She remembers only one thing. Suddenly, she saw Jesus walking up to her. And He took His right hand, put it in His own chest, pulled out His heart. Took His left hand, He put it into her chest and took her heart out and replaced it with His heart. And she just started saying, I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. She had an encounter with the living God. This is what we are talking about today. We're not talking about external secondary matters. We are speaking about an encounter with the living God. Her life is changed just because he put his own heart in her. The second experience is, I was prayed for by the leaders, all the leaders, the team of ministers, all of them got regularly prayed for. And I remember one evening specifically, I also found myself on the floor, and I'm not that kind of guy, you know. I don't like fakeness at all, so I don't do fake, but I believe, because I've seen with my eyes how God can work. And I remember I found myself on the floor and I could not get up. And I was lying on the floor exploring what's happening to me. Is this what it means to be drunk in the Spirit? And I'm like, no, I don't feel that. And I reached a conclusion, I don't know. I don't know. But I went to the Lord and I started praying and started reading. And I came across this. I couldn't get up. I tried. My wife was with me. You can put that slide up. Thank you. It's Devin, right? Thank you so much. The glory of God. I'm going to read it to you. Kavod or kabod. The glory means honor, respect, worth and value, but it stems from the root weight. The glory of God is called the weight of the Lord. It's his divine presence, his manifest presence of God. If God made Israel with his glory in a cloud, how much more is available for us today within his presence and his glory when he's in our lives? What can he not do if we submit ourselves to his glory? And so I realized God's glory, his weight, rested on me. And I had no choice but to stay down until it lifted and I could get up. It changed my life. And I can tell you now, there wasn't any other special experience necessarily. I didn't see visions and dreams while I was laying on the floor. I just knew I'm encountering the reality of a living God. And sometimes it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. You know why? Because he's God. He is Spirit. He doesn't work the way we do. He doesn't speak the way we do. He speaks in riddles and parables and visions and dreams. And that's not to hide himself. It's to draw us closer. It's to prickle our imagination, our curiosity, so that we can come closer. I want to start closing just by reading the following to you quickly. Daniel 5. You know the story when Nebuchadnezzar stole the goods from the temple, and they had the writing of the hand on the wall. You remember that story? And so he was frightened and he asked someone to come and interpret what God is writing on the wall. And this is what it said. They called Daniel, verse 5, verse 28. They called Daniel. And Daniel told him. And they lifted yourself up against. Let me just make sure I'm at the right place. Oh. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, and then. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. He was a king, responsible for people. And God did not measure, he weighed him. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. ever wondered why you have a spirit? God created inside of you a dimension that He reserved for Himself. And the day that we get saved and baptized in His Holy Spirit, He comes into that dimension that He's created into us. And He opens us up, He awakens us, He activates us to become way more than we ever believed we could be or could do on our own. I don't know what your call is. I don't know what your gift is. But God's aligned those two for you to participate wherever you are and whatever you do, what He's doing in His kingdom. We are joining in with what He's doing. I loved it last night when we had dinner with Richard and Jolene. They told us, they said, you know, God was bringing forth this thing in their lives that they didn't anticipate. You know, He was just doing sovereignly something on His own. Isn't that amazing? And that's available for us, that God can just bring something through us that He's planned and predestined for you. But you probably won't catch all of it if you don't recognize the Holy Spirit as God. If you don't comply, meaning if you don't open yourself up for Him to come and do what is in His heart for you. In my personal experience, and I can testify of this, every time that I tried to do these kind of things on my own, I messed it up. Every time. And you know why? Because I've left the old life, not just the sinful life. I've left the old natural life behind. And with that, I also gave up my right just to operate on my own. And I've submitted myself to a spiritual life, at least with my words. But sometimes I try and live here. I try and do things on my own where I've already submitted my life into a new life. And these two kingdoms clash with each other. It's not always just sin. It's recognizing that God works differently and coming to Him, asking Him to do what He wants to do in you. And I want to close with this. There's things that only God can do. And even if we try, we won't be able to do that. And there's other things that God can do, but He will never do. Because when Jesus came, when He gave His Spirit, He brought restoration to two areas in the life of the believer. Number one, intimacy and relationship. Number two, to be a ruler. He restored the mandate of believers that He gave originally in the Garden of Eden. Rule and reign. And sometimes we are waiting for Him, but He is waiting for us. And therefore we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. When we receive from Him, He is now sending us to do what we sometimes expect Him to do. Sometimes we don't see because we don't act. And God is just saying, you've got it all. You've got it all. I'm waiting for you. Yes, Lord, please. We just did it. You've got it all. Done everything for you. It's available. Go for it. Sometimes you just need to hear God says, I want to activate you. I want to baptize you in my Spirit. And then you have to go. But I will be there. So how do you receive this? Number one, you recognize the Holy Spirit as a person and as fully God. Secondly, you get baptized in the Spirit so that He can bring over your life what you cannot do. Thirdly, you walk in intimacy with Him. You make sure you stay in not just in faith, but in relationship with Him. And fourthly, you apply. You go for it. You do it. I want to share with you sometimes when I receive a prophetic word for people, have you seen prophets do, I'm not a prophet, but have you seen prophets do the following? They would say, ma'am, would you please stand up? And someone stands up and then you start ministering on this side. Do you know why they do that? Because God has highlighted that person, but they don't have a word yet. That's why they do that. And so they minister where they do have a word yet. Sometimes you have to do that for God to bring the word to you. Otherwise you will know God wanted to minister to that person today, but I didn't have the faith to put my feet into it and say, I'm going to minister to you now in a moment, so let's go start here. And it's the same for all of us. You have to put your feet in it if you've received from the Lord. So when I pray for you today, in intercession this morning, someone just felt strongly, and I want to announce or emphasize this. A morning like today, or next Sunday, or tonight, or whenever we gather as a church, is an opportunity. Every time. Sometimes there's things that God wants to do that we cannot do. We need other people or ministers or each other for. And every time we pass the opportunity by, there's a chance that you might not have another opportunity. Every time. And so when we pray this morning, I want to ask you not to pass this one by. Don't let it go by. If there's something in your life that you need to get rid of, let's do it. Let's do it. If you are not sure, so let me start. Can I start ministering? Is it fine? Will you stop me when time's up? I just want to honor the leaders in the house.
Hello, my name is Michelle. I'm his wife. I think so. Okay, I just before he starts, it might go on for a long time. I really have something on my word for you as church. Okay, but I want to start with you. So this morning, I want to confirm the process that you are in with the Lord and the place you are at. Okay? I know according to your own words, it's not been a natural process. Like we think it should look like when the Lord calls us to something specific and something great in his kingdom. But it's like the Venus flycatcher. Okay? I saw this morning, you are like that luring flower, okay? The color of it, and you like the mechanics. And I want the actual deed of coming to its purpose, okay? And I want to confirm that the unity between the two of you is perfect. And I don't want you to doubt the power that it has, that which you are busy with doing. Never doubt in this season and the power of this season. And this morning while we were worshiping, I saw like a chessboard. Like the Lord is busy with a strategic process. Something way bigger. For now, we look at the specific move that's needed. Okay, to be successful in the next phase or in the bigger picture. But God is busy with something way bigger than what you are busy with now. Okay, and I want to encourage you. I believe as a church, and this is a call in my heart for you as church. I believe that God is, and the people who are here is raising a core. The people here who says yes to the vision and the mission and the calling of this leaders couple and of what God has for this specific church and the calling that God has for this church, God is raising up a core, solidifying a core. And I believe there are specific things that's needed in a core. Okay? And this morning I just saw how many of you are experiencing wind, are experiencing things that feels like it's pulling you down. And I believe your resistance, I believe God is solidifying you because some things need to be built into a foundation for it to be able to stand. And to carry weight. You can be all puffed up and carry your weight here up high. Know a lot and think you know a lot and be all demonstrative in gifts and in even that. See gifts, practice gifts, talk nice things, be seen in society and even in town as a church, do nice things, have nice conferences, whatever. But you carry your weight here, and comes the wind, then it won't put you in place for that which God has called you for. I want to encourage you as church, for those of you who feel, maybe right now, a burning inside of you as a call to be part of what God is establishing now in this town. And I believe God is busy with, we are moving forward as a church. We will see the church coming to her purpose more and more in these times. We will see it. We have no other choice than becoming. And you have to decide whether you are part of this becoming. As the world goes down, we have to rise as church. There is no other answer. There is no other solution for what we will be seeing in the time to come than the church and the power of God. There is no other answer. Every other system will fail us. Every other system will fail us. It will. We can't rely on anything else. And you as church are called for a time like this. This is who you are. This is who you will be in this town and for the time to come. But you have to say yes. And this is what this is about. If this is not the fire inside of your bones and that which is driving you, we will be a useless bride of Jesus. That's my biggest fear, is that we will be this timid, all pull a dress from your wardrobe, whatever, just for the marriage feast. We need to be a prepared bride, looking like his bride. And I believe that if you say yes, and if you feel that God is calling you for a time like this, for this church, and for the vision and mission God has put on them, and what they are busy establishing here, then you will be part of a core of something God is doing. But within that, I feel that you are in a season of God putting your weight into your foundation, establishing things and putting things in place. And I believe that is what he is busy with. And that's why I want to encourage you with what you're busy with. You're busy laying the foundation, getting the structures right for what God is doing. If it's drainage, if it's foundation laying, if it's cutting of trees, if it's whatever it is, God is busy putting things in place for what he is planning. And that applies for our lives as well. God can do, and his spirit is readily available. And if it was true that it is only dependent on him, then we would have had the same weight. But it's not the case. It's not the case. The measure to which you comply to who he is, being conformed, saying yes to his work in your life, firstly inward and then outward, that is the measure of your weight. That is the weight that will be established in this time for you as church. So I want to encourage you for your own lives. If God is busy doing something in your own life, if you know that some things need to be in place, if you said a half yes, but you're quite scared of saying yes to Jesus and for what he wants for your life, if you haven't given your life to him, if you are scared of the Holy Spirit or being used by him, if you have some restrictions, doesn't matter what it is, but if your yes is not a full yes, then this is the time to say yes, to get things in place, to move, in to come into line in accordance to his purposes for your life. He will first establish it in the heart of the core so that it can be duplicated. If that DNA is not in the core of a fruit, then it won't bring forth the same fruit. Make sure that your core is in place, your own core and your church's core, because God is establishing something strategically now for a time in which the church is moving into. And it is great. I believe God has a great call for this church and for this time, and not only for here. It's never only for here.
So let's start with that. Can we all close our eyes for a moment? Let's just give the Holy Spirit a chance to connect with us. If maybe this morning you had the following feeling inside, I'm not 100% sure if there's a 100% yes in my heart. I'm not 100% sure that I've already made that decision to follow God with my whole heart. If that is you, will you please use this opportunity and stand up so we can pray with you? If you're unsure, please don't pass this opportunity by. Is there anyone else that needs to make a clear yes for the Lord this morning? Don't be shy. Thank you for your boldness. The Bible says for those that is not ashamed, Jesus, He will never be ashamed for us in front of the Father as well. So thank you for making this bold statement. So as we pray for them, maybe this morning you felt, I do know the Lord. I don't know if I've given my yes to comply, to apply, to demonstrate, put my feet into this purpose that Michelle has talked about. I'm just going to ask you, we're going to do a prophetic action by just standing up and opening our arms and just saying yes to the Lord. So if you feel I need to give a yes to participate in what God's doing in the church and in this church specifically, will you please stand up? Just as a sign of surrendering, but also receiving. Will you open up your hands just to receive from the Lord? I want to pray over you. You might experience something while we're praying. Then please know this is the Lord working with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for a church giving their yes. Thank you, Lord, for a church that wants to jump into this river of what you are doing here in Franschhoek. Maybe in other places as well. Thank you, Lord, as we open our hands right now, we receive from you everything that's necessary for us to walk in the purpose that you've predestined for our lives. Let's just give the Lord a chance. Just open your hands and connect with Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your gentle presence this morning, Lord. And touch our lives and deposit, activate. I want to ask Holy Spirit, as we are standing, show us right now, give us a vision or an image, something to show us where you want us to start. Thank you, Jesus. I can just see the Holy Spirit moving all over the room. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I want to invite you to the front in just a minute. If you've never received baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you need a fresh encounter, a fresh infilling as an Acts 4 of boldness, we're going to give a time for you to be prayed for this morning. I want to invite you to the front and also the leadership or the ministry team, I don't know what you are called. If you feel you need a fresh infilling today, this morning, fresh empowerment, or you have never been baptized by the Holy Spirit to receive everything that we've spoken about, will you please come to the front so that we can pray for you? If you are not coming to the front at this moment, you're welcome to pray with us as God touches the people's lives in front. So if you see there's space and you want to come and receive as well, then I want to invite you. You're welcome.
I'm sensing that there are more people that need to respond to the ministry altar call. So please, if anybody needs prayer at this stage for anything that's on your heart, please, the invitation is now. Don't miss out. There was a specific word this morning that went out to intercession that people may experience regret if because they missed out this morning. And so I want to invite you to come this morning. The team is up front. But it's going to take something from you. A step of boldness, a step of faith. So please, come to the front and we'd love to pray for you.